Welcome to the Money Tree Real Estate Investor Podcast, where we learn from real estate professionals across the industry. They will share about how they got into real estate, the big wins they have celebrated, the mistakes they have made along the way, and the advice they have for anyone following in their footsteps. Money really does grow on trees. Hey everybody, it's William Holland here for another episode of the Money Tree Real Estate Investing Podcast. I've got a special guest here, Vlad Rokshiev. We're really glad to have you today. I'd love to hear your story. I understand you're Russian, so tell me a little bit more about where you grew up.
Yeah, very happy to be here. Thank you so much, William, for the invitation. Yeah, I came to the United States 30 years ago. I left Russia in 1993 as a kid with parents. When the wall came down in 89, there was this huge wave of Eastern immigrants from Russia, and we just jumped onto that wave and came over here. And actually, I never even went back. I don't think I'm even allowed to go back.
Okay.
Yeah, so because I got my American citizenship, of course, pretty much immediately, and lived in New York, in Brooklyn, in Coney Island, to be exact, for 25 years, parts of Bensonhurst as well. And now I live in New Jersey. You know, I have two kids, wife, and three cats.
So. That's pretty cool. Yeah, my mom loves cats as well. So, hey, I'm not against them. I know you like to travel. So we talked about that a little bit before the episode started recording. Tell me about some of your best recommendations on travel.
Yeah, we started out traveling with, I'd say, lazy type of travel, where you go to, let's say, Mexico or Dominican Republic, and you just lay and bake in the sun. Soon after, we discovered it can be quite boring. So we started doing very active vacations. So we tried and went to Costa Rica. I didn't want to go. I thought it was unsafe. But after speaking with so many people, it's great. And I went there, arguably one of the best vacations in the world. I mean, we jumped from big waterfalls, and I went in like caves with guano and bats, and did zip lining, and like I was just swimming in the water, and there was this gator swimming by me. Don't ask. So highly recommend Costa Rica, one of the best places ever. And then we started shifting towards the Europe and started traveling all over Europe. So we buy a ticket here from New York, travel to, let's say, Madrid or Germany, and rent a car and do a huge circle all the way around Europe. So Germany, France, Spain, Italy. Of course, I like castles, and it has a lot of history. And I'm a history buff, so I like World War II type events. So mm-hmm. I went to Normandy, of course. I wanted to see the beaches, and we stayed in one of the places that was like a Nazi, some sort of like bunker or something like that. But now wow. It's a hotel, so it was kind of impressive, and also very like, wow, look at the history, and I'm staying here. So I like all that. Travel is a huge thing, and not traveling lately. We have two small kids trying to be in real estate, so concentrating on this. And now all my travels are to Houston, Knoxville, Orlando, Salt Lake City for the conferences. So all I'm doing is traveling around the United States for the conferences. That's all I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So not too much cool. Europe travel now.
Yeah, I can't wait to go to Costa Rica. That sounds like a great trip. And as we mentioned before the episode, I've been to Spain and spent about 2 weeks there, and that was absolutely life-changing. But I'm also looking forward to exploring other countries in Europe pretty soon.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I understand kind of how you got started in real estate. You're a realtor in New Jersey. So what kind of assets are you selling? And tell us about the journey to get where you are now.
Sure. It's a crazy journey, because I started being a graphic designer, and my degree from college is graphic design and production management, has nothing to do with real estate. Did that for all these years. And I'm working on my dream job, kinda. I'm making banners and billboards. So it was pretty cool. 5 minutes away from my house, very comfortable. Everything is fine. And then
Yeah.
COVID hit. We got shut down. I got furloughed because it's non-essential business. Sitting there for over 6 months, I mean, kind of enjoying myself, but at the same time thinking, I can't control my future. What are we doing? What's going to happen? We need to do something. Mortgage, kids, everything. So I'm speaking with my wife, and she goes, let's explore something else. Let's explore, let's say, real estate. How about being a real estate agent? Because everybody needs to live somewhere. This is the industry where it's always needed. Agents are always needed. So I'm like, yeah, but I don't know anything about real estate. The only thing I do know is we got a house with another agent. That's the only thing I know. So it was very uncomfortable, and I don't like being uncomfortable. Well, now what I know now, I should be uncomfortable, but
Yeah, we talked about that.
I didn't want to be uncomfortable. So, but then she found my pain point, taxes. If you have a if you're self-employed, you save more money on taxes. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. I'll be an agent. So I studied. By the way, I got called back to my job.
Okay.
I continued to be a graphic designer. Every evening at night, I'm studying to be a real estate agent. It's like 70-hour exam. Finish the exam, pass the test, real estate agent, everything is cool. Started selling few houses. And then the transition was like, hey, what is this wholesaling thing? I'm hearing about it. Everybody's wholesaling. What is that? You lock up a house, you mark it up, and you sell it to an end buyer, right? You assign the contract. Let me try that. Why not? Did that for, I don't know, 6 months or so. It worked okay. Natural transition. How about some flips? Or maybe a single family rental. We got that. We got a house in New Jersey, in South Jersey. It works okay, but we're not scaling fast enough. It's constant grind. It's like you're a hamster in a wheel. If you stop prospecting, everything dries up. So the natural progression is, what about having like duplexes and triplexes and things like that for cash flow? And my wife goes, why don't we just go to multifamily? I'm like, but I don't know anything about multifamily. I mean, look at these numbers and figures, and we're talking millions, and where are we going to buy it and stuff like that? And this story is just absolutely crazy. So we're sitting on the couch, and we go into a bunch of conferences here around New Jersey,
Right, yeah.
like single family stuff, just to learn to know people. She goes, I booked a ticket for a multifamily conference. I'm like, oh my God, here we go again. Making me uncomfortable again. I'm getting out of my comfort zone. I don't know what am I going to talk about there? I don't know anybody there. Where is it? Is it like in where is it, like Jersey City? Is it in Manhattan? Where is it? She's like, Houston. I'm like, hold on a second. The only Houston I know is in Texas. Please tell me there's Houston in New Jersey or something. She's like, no, you're right. It's Texas. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, we're flying to Houston on February, in February. The time was like December or something. I'm like, you can't be serious. Well, I don't know anybody. Look at the money. It's like $150 a ticket, plus hotel, plus like a flight. And you no. She said, hey, I bought the tickets, non-refundable, we're going. True story. We even sitting in the airport, and I'm like, what are we doing? Why are we going? I could be like selling a house or something. She's like, you'll see. We're getting into this room in Houston, 800 people, 800, and they started speeches and stuff like that. And they're asking who ha here has apartments. And pretty much everybody raised their hand, not me. I'm like, and they're talking like crazy numbers. Who has 1,000 doors, 2,000, 5,000 doors? And hands are up. And I'm like, this is like unreal. How is this possible?
Right.
So after speaking with all these people for like 2 days, I was just floored by their generosity and how open they are and how much they're willing to teach and pass their knowledge forward. I came back, we came back home. We immediately put a plan forward. What do we need to do to succeed in multifamily? First thing, credibility. And of course, education. For that, we need a mentorship. So we immediately started interviewing all the mentors out there. I'm not gonna name names, but there's a bunch of them. Ultimately, we joined Jake and Gino community. And the lessons and what we learned there just accelerated, like huge acceleration forward. I always do this example. You can do it without mentorship. You don't have to pay, you know, whatever it is for the mentorship. But it's like going up the mountain and learning skiing. You can go up the mountain 20 times, fall down and be all bruised up and, you know, God forbid, and eventually learn how to ski. Or take one lesson, spend $200, take an hour, and I'm sure by the end of the day, you're going to be great. Same thing here. Spend the money on education and at the same time mentorship. Because picture, I can say, oh, listen, Jake and Gino and Bill Hamm and Joe Sullivan are my mentors. And they're big players in multifamily space. So that gives me credibility right away. So that's my journey from basically quick journey from beginning to kind of starting multifamily. And I'm still am a real estate agent. It's fun. It's fun being a real estate agent. I still do sales. I still do few short sales and foreclosures. But 90% of my time is devoted to working on asset management and raising capital for my deals. I do JVs and syndications, both.
That's so cool, man. And one thing that you said beforehand, I took a note of it and wanted to make sure that we got it into the episode. But you said that you need to do things that an average person wouldn't do. So what does that mean? Like getting uncomfortable? Like what are some steps that you've taken that an average person wouldn't do?
Well, one of the big things is I'm fairly introverted. So I had to get out of my comfort zone and speak. Even right now, it's fairly uncomfortable because I don't want to say anything foolish or, incorrect. So it's always getting yourself out there. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. I was not posting on Facebook. I did not have a LinkedIn account. I didn't know what a reel was until recently. And I'm like, now I'm reeling nonstop. I'm posting all over the place because people have to know what you do.
Right.
People have to know what you do. And I'll give you even an more extreme example. Somebody told me. I was speaking with a very successful capital raiser, and he told me this thing where he stands at a gas station and he sees like a Ferrari pulls up. He literally just walks over to that person and goes, "Hi, my name is Bob. I am in real estate and I see you have a great car. Can I ask, what do you do for a living?" I want to do the same thing. Would you think an average person do something like this? I do it now. I literally just come up to people and because my wife looks at me and she sees that look and she's like, "Oh no, here we go." She just turns around and just walks away. And I just beeline right there. So it's you have to put yourself out there, even if it might seem weird, and always consistency, not give up, being consistent, driving forward, and fall up. If you fall down, get up, keep going. Don't just give up. Because first deal in multifamily, it can take 8 to 15 months. So it takes a lot of drive. And that's why you don't see a lot of people in multifamily, in large multifamily, I should rephrase. I mean, you can say duplex quads, yeah, you see people like that. But now we're talking 20 doors and up, let's say 1,000 doors, 500 doors. So that takes a lot of commitment. So I think just being out there is one of the biggest things you can do to help yourself. So yeah, even if you introverted, yeah, get this out of you, get this out of there, and do podcasts and interviews and speak.
Passive investors in real estate are able to receive a check every month. Some people call that mailbox money. We say money really does grow on trees. Visit the website at biggerpictureholdings.com, where we have a ton of free resources to help you learn more about planting your very own money tree.
No, I love your journey, man, and I can tell you're passionate, and I definitely much appreciate that. So, I know one of the reasons that you wanted to get into real estate was because of the tax advantages. And then we also would like to talk about gap funding as well. So tell me a little bit more about the taxes, and then let's kick off that deeper discussion of gap funding.
Sure, yeah. Well, everybody knows you can depreciate a building or depreciate a house, investment, not your primary residence, but an investment. So I'm speaking with a lot of people who have single family houses, and they're like, yeah, we do depreciation, it's fine. So when I tell them, when it comes to apartments, you do cost segregation or accelerated depreciation, and they don't even know what it is. They're clueless. And what it is basically when you acquire it, you not only depreciate everything on the outside, you depreciate everything on the inside too. You do a cost segregation study and you depreciate, let's say, lights, counters, refrigerators. And because there's so many of them, you can depreciate everything. And on the outside, you can depreciate parking lots, even, I don't know, grass and bushes, stuff like that. The only thing that does not depreciate is dirt, because it's just dirt. And thanks to the rule or a law that was passed when was it, when Trump was president, you can accelerate all the depreciation and take it in 5 years. So for example, in the previous deal that we've done, on a $100,000 investment, people get approximately from 65 to 75% of depreciation year one, which is just crazy. In 2022, it was last year of 100% bonus depreciation. Now it's 23, it's 80%. Still great, it's a little less, but still it's gonna set off all the gains from real estate, from passive income that you get, and it's gonna offset all that. So you technically kind of doing it tax free, right? Because and the coolest thing is, even if you don't use all that depreciation, it carries forward. It doesn't disappear. And it stays with you indefinitely and just sets off all other gains that you'll have in the future. So it's a great, great hedge against inflation. And also the tax savings are huge. And also one of the big things that people don't get is you don't have to be active to be in multifamily. You can be a passive investor, because I'm speaking with people who are doctors and attorneys, IT engineers, you name it. And they're like, well, I'm a doctor, I don't have time to learn this and to do this. And where am I going to buy stuff? How do I know? And I'm like, well, that's why you ask people like myself, syndicators, others. You don't want to be in multifamily, you want to be in RV parks, storage, mobile home parks. Ask me, I'll point you in the right direction. I know people that do all that stuff. I do just apartments. I like apartments because it's basic human need, right? Food, clothing, apartments. Even if people cannot buy a house, they have to live somewhere. So they're going to rent.
Right.
Have no choice, right? Have to rent. Have to live somewhere. So that's why I like apartments myself. And I tell them, you can still be involved passively. You can invest capital through 401ks, self-directed IRAs, 1031 exchanges. I mean, there's even your life insurance policy. And you can invest in multifamily. You can still get tax advantages, still get passive cash flow, and take advantage of all the things that real estate has to offer without literally lifting a finger. by trusting another operator like myself. So, or somebody else if you want to go with, let's say, mobile home parks or whatever. So anybody can do it. Just you have to kind of educate yourself a little bit, check the track record of a person, and most importantly, see if it's for you, right? Like if you even qualify. For example, if you only have, I don't know, $50,000 and that's all the savings you have, maybe it might not be for you because the minimum investment in most cases, it's just 50,000 or more. So don't just invest all of your money. But in some cases, you, for example, if you have stocks that are just sitting there doing nothing, right? And stocks what making, I don't know, 4%, I don't know what they are now, 5%, they crashed recently. They're all over the place, right? And inflation, let's say 10. I know it's more, let's just say 10. So you're technically losing 6%, maybe more, losing. So, but if you invest in real estate, which, and we're targeting 20 percent on your investment. So how much are you technically losing now by not investing in real estate? You're losing like 14% already, right? Even more. I'm just talking round numbers just for ease of math. So like on the previous deal that we've done, we were targeting 2.85 equity multiple. So hypothetically, for ease of numbers, if you invest $100,000 in 3 to 5 years, you're looking to receive $285,000 tax-free almost. Maybe you'll pay a little, but pretty much nothing on gains. You can't get that anywhere else. And it's a building. It's there. You can go to Dallas and touch it if you like. It's not like a number on the computer that somebody typed in. So I like things that are there. I can see them, and there's a lot of advantages there. So that's my long
Absolutely.
drawn out explanation.
Definitely. So tell us about gap funding. What is its purpose? And, some people have to use it potentially if they don't raise enough capital to get a deal closed. So you might have been on the other side of that, of loaning out that financing. So tell us a little bit about that.
Of course, yeah. Gap funding, you can use it, can be used anywhere in single family space or multifamily. When it comes to single family space, I was a gap funder a few times. So basically, a friend of mine doing a flip, right? So he got hard money, or private money to buy something, and then he needs construction money. But before the project, so basically you get paid. You get money from the bank in stages as you complete the rehab. But that little gap between the start of the project, the one basically what I'm trying to say is before you start the project, you need some capital, let's say to pay salaries, to get supplies. And there you got the gap funder that brings in just that little bit of money to cover that part. So in my case, I lent somebody $25,000. They started the project, used my money to get supplies, get materials, and pay the crew until the bank started paying them for the rehab. And usually, typically, you lend the money at 15%, somewhere around there, maybe even higher. Back then, it was around 15. Now it can go as high as 18%. But it's a short-term loan, very short. It's, I don't know, 4 months. Now, when it comes to multifamily, I actually dealt with a gap funder in a previous deal in Dallas. How that worked is we had a deal that needed to close very quickly. We found it off market, needed to close very, very quickly because the seller needed to buy something else. And they said, hey, listen, if you can come up with the money, you can have this deal. We were 6 million short. So we found a gap funder, and he gave us $6 million. In 2 weeks, We closed the deal in November, and now we back raised the capital, and we raised additional, we actually raised a little more than we needed. And it took us approximately less than 2 months. And we paid him back, but at the same time, we already got the deal, we were operating it, everything is fine, we closed. Because usually, I mean, you can have a fund. I don't want to get into funds. I don't have a fund, but you can have a fund that, you can immediately deploy capital and, get an asset. In this particular case, we used the gap funder. He charged us obviously a high percentage, but it's a short loan, like 2 months loan, and we needed it to close. So you have to weigh your options here. Are you going to pay him, let's say, 18% and get the deal, or are you willing to lose a deal? I would get the deal and then get the money and then pay him back. So gap funder is basically, a lot of people do that. It's a short-term loan that you can give to acquire a property or do a rehab on it. So yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. No, thank you so much for sharing that. So the last two things I wanted to talk about today, what was some lesson that you've learned or a mistake that you've made or something that you wish you would have done differently?
Oh, great question. I wish I would have bypassed single family and go straight to multifamily. Not to say that things that I've learned in single family are not helping me now, because they are. I was going direct to seller, obviously, as being a real estate agent, you call people. So I used the same systems and transferred them to multifamily space and go direct to seller in multifamily space because it's totally possible. And I do that now. So I learned that, but I could have learned them now and just skipped 6 months of or a year, I should say, of single family and just moved directly to multifamily. My biggest challenge was I was afraid. I was afraid because how can, like, I speak with people, how can somebody buy something that's like $50 million? Because my mindset was me, I, and that's it. But there is no me or I. It's a team effort. It's a team thing. I live in New Jersey. I buy multifamily properties in Texas, Houston, Dallas, also Kansas City market, and the Carolinas. So how can I possibly do it without a team? So as soon as I joined Jake and Gino, I connected with people that live there, and they are my boots on the ground. We walk properties. I can call Jen or Jeff, and I say, "Hey, listen, I have this property there. Meet with a contractor and or a property manager and go walk it." So they do. So it's it. The biggest fear was I cannot do it. Instead of what do I need to do to make it happen? And team is the key. There is no I here. You cannot buy this huge thing alone. And also, one thing that I had to change was when you buy a house, you just buy a house and you're an owner of a house. When you buy a building, like 419 units that we purchased, or the new one that we are on the contract for, you're buying a business.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You're a business owner. So you're buying, you have employees, you have attorneys, you have CPAs. It's a huge machine. It's a huge machine. So you have to kind of realize that it's not just you there. There's a team that's involved, and you just one part of the whole machine that is driving forward. And you don't have to do everything, but you have to do what you do great, right? So if you want to do an asset manager, be a great asset manager. Don't do operations, don't do this, just concentrate on one thing. If you're great at acquisitions or solving problems, do that. If you're great at underwriting, concentrate on underwriting. You know, because that's your thing. Be awesome at it. Be known for like the most amazing underwriter ever. That's why I'm very focused on apartments. I'm having opportunities brought to me in mobile home parks or storage, which is very hot now. But I don't do storage. I don't do storage. I even got an opportunity to invest in Ithaca, New York. you can raise the rents by $600. That's what he said initially, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm in. And then he said, it's in Ithaca, and I'm like, yeah, no, sorry, thanks, because I like my markets, I know my markets, I invest there, I know people there. Even though there might be great opportunities, there are great opportunities everywhere. In Mississippi, my friend is buying amazing opportunities,
Right.
doubling his money in a year. But I concentrate on one area and I know I'm good at it and I want to be known for it. So that's the most important thing. So I wish I would have figured that out sooner and saved about a year. So that's my biggest thing. Do not be afraid. No fear.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Lastly, I want to just shine the spotlight on you. What's the biggest accomplishment so far in real estate that you're most proud of?
Oh, I found a 40-unit apartment building in Kansas City and connected with my team in Kansas City. We purchased it. It's a JV, just five people. And when, as of now, it's literally the best producing asset ever. And it's not technically the first deal, but it's the first deal that I found and closed, and it's been the most successful, in my opinion. So it's like my baby. It's like you found it, and I'm super involved, extremely. I'm involved in all of them, but this one, for some reason, just feels special because I guess I found it, right? So that I'm very proud of that. And also, I'm very proud of, I guess, a person who gave me a shot. I mean, I was new and he gave me an opportunity. He saw something in me and he gave me an opportunity, and that accelerated my career further. So I'll always be grateful to people that give me shots and opportunities because I'm here to pass it forward. I'm here to teach and I'm here to help others. So that because I want them to experience and see what I see. And I'm just a small fish. And I just started. I'm the new guy. But people are missing out there. People's dreams is like, let's buy five units this year. And I'm like, five? What are you talking about? Five is nothing. How about 200? And they're like, no, that's impossible. I'm like, well, my first year I bought 497. He's like, oh, and his jaw just dropped. So I'm here to change people's minds.
Definitely, man. Well, thank you so much, Vlad. It was really great to meet you. How can people contact you?
Oh, I'm all over social media. Vlad Arakcheyev. There's not many Arakcheyevs out there, or Vlads, actually. So Arakcheyev, Arakcheyev. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, recently on TikTok, but I don't know what I'm doing on TikTok. Don't even ask. And LinkedIn, of course. So email me, contact me. I'm here to help. My phone number is out there floating. And obviously, I'm a real estate agent in New Jersey, so you can look me up, and all my information is public knowledge. So you know what it is. Everybody's out there. So, yeah, contact me, reach out. I'm here to help. Thanks.
Sir. Well, thank you so much.
Like and subscribe below. A new episode will air every Tuesday at 7 a.m. Are you looking for more content? Visit our website, biggerpictureholdings.com. And remember, money really does grow on trees.